This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chicago, it's no mystery that Chevy is your best bet for the unpredictable spring ahead. The snow and ice may be gone, but the spring plot thickens at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true MO of SUVs. If you're thinking about taking all the twists and turns in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one you can identify. And don't worry, they can't see you behind the glass. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to solve the case like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Here we go, our numero dos. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Welcome back. Great to have you. Happy Tuesday, people. Welcome in. The four most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment you have ever heard in your life. Underway right now. We're talking NFL free agency negotiation period opened up yesterday. Contracts can't be signed until tomorrow afternoon when the new league year starts. Teams will then have just a few days to get themselves completely in, teams will have to be under the cap at that point. So the contracts that are being handed out now will obviously go a long way in the mathematics that these teams will be required to do over the next few hours. We're going to keep following that as it continues to develop. We'll see if any contracts get handed out during the show today. I would not be shocked if they do. They can be signed later on this afternoon. We have got the NBA heating up. A couple of games from last night that are very interesting I'd like to get into. No LeBron for the Lakers. They eat an L to the lowly Brooklyn Nets last night despite a triple-double from Luka Doncic. We're going to talk about the NBA. We'll get to some NHL as well because there was a couple of big stories out of the Hockey League last night. All of that and more coming up. We'll let you know before we get into the water cooler cheat sheet here in just a minute. A little spring cleaning, if you will. The great one will be out tomorrow. I will be rolling the show solo. I will be out on Thursday and Friday. Because of that, all of our Thursday and Friday guests will be stacked up tomorrow. So we're going to have a busy show tomorrow. Tomorrow on the radio broadcast, we will have the lovely Lulu Kesson joining us at 8 a.m. We will have Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us at 8:20. Rashad Beard will talk Carolina Panthers. They had a big day yesterday. We'll see how that goes.
I don't get to debut that, so I'm sorry.
That's true.
Yeah, I can,
that's true.
I can throw that soundbite your way.
I mean, it
won't be as fun without me here.
That is also correct. Rashad Beard will join us at 8:40. We'll talk to him. I'll give you my thoughts on the Carolina Panthers free agency moves yesterday, including throwing fat stacks at J.C. Horn a little bit later on in this show. Lulu will join us at 8, or excuse me, Rashad will join us at 8:40 tomorrow. Talk about that. Hayden Ask Mario will join us tomorrow at 9 o'clock. To talk all of his thoughts on the NFL free agency period, as well as check in on the NBA playoff races and more. Then I and Lonzo will both be off on Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. We will return to you with banners unfurled and trumpets sounding on Wednesday. Yes, indeed. And at that point, we will have Selection Sunday in our back pocket, and it will be just about time to tip off the 2024-25 NCAA men's and women's college basketball national championship tournaments. And yes, it will be a lot of hardball. Excuse me, a lot of hard court. Hardball is coming up because baseball's opening day is now just a couple of weeks away as well. We got to get to that. Speaking of, there's a baseball story in the water cooler cheat sheet today. You know what the water cooler cheat sheet is, right? It's the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office in less than 56 minutes. Clock in, respond to those emails, and start talking sports with your coworkers. Yeah, it's the water cooler cheat sheet, and we do that right now.
You sick freak!
See, he told him to shut up, and then he threw a raspberry their way. That's what that was, you know.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Stop with the final boss.
Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. We dive right in, ladies and gentlemen, with item number one. Won't spend a ton of time on this, but it is a league-altering development. New York Yankees right-hander Gerrit Cole will undergo Tommy John surgery, the team announced yesterday. Ends the 2025 season for the 2023 Cy Young Award winner before it even starts. As the Yankees prepare to defend their American League pennant, they will now do it without their ace. They are also missing Luis Gil, last year's Rookie of the Year. He will be out roughly 3 months with a lat strain, meaning the Yanks are now down two of their proposed opening day starters, and not just two, but two of the best in the AL. The decision to have the surgery will sideline Cole this entire season and at least part of the 2026 season. You will remember that this is roughly the same timeline that Atlanta Braves ace Spencer Strider had last year when he had to have Tommy John surgery. Caused Spencer Strider to miss all of last year. It will cause him to miss the first couple of months of this year. The same will be true for Gerrit Cole. He did seek a second opinion yesterday, and the two lined up that the surgery was the right decision. Cole started two games this spring, gave up seven runs across six innings. His final game was last Thursday, gave up six runs on five hits, including a pair of dingers over 2.5 innings to the Twins. He said he felt a, quote, alarming amount of pain, end quote, that Friday morning, prompting him to notify the team and undergo imaging tests, which revealed a torn UCL. The 34-year-old went through the same series of stressful events a year ago, elbow pain in mid-March, testing opinions from doctors. But last year, Cole was diagnosed with nerve irritation and edema? I'm going to go with edema.
I believe it's edema.
And instead of surgery, rested in rehab, made a season debut June 19th, pitched all the way through the World Series without a setback. He was hoping for the same, but posted on an Instagram post yesterday that the surgery was, quote, a necessary next step for my career, end quote. Said that he does believe he has, quote, a lot left to give, and I'm fully committed to the work ahead. I'll attack my rehab every day and support the 2025 Yankees each step of the way. I love this game. I love competing, and I can't wait to be back on the mound stronger than ever. Last year, 124 innings over 22 starts between the regular season and the playoffs, tossed at least six innings in three of his five postseason outings, then opted to alter his offseason throwing program by starting it earlier to continue his positive momentum from the 2024 season. He said he believed that he was in a really good spot compared to other years at the start of camp. That was a month ago. A month later, his season has been declared over. So the ace of the Yankee staff, Gerrit Cole, shut down for the 2025 season.
Don't look up edema because it's swelling or puffiness caused by accumulation of fluid in the body tissue.
Now I have to.
Yeah, it's there's pictures. It's
I like, really wish you wouldn't have said,
yeah, but,
don't.
But still, I mean, you want to know what it was, and it's...
I did, and I still do.
Causes...
Oh, yeah, I've seen that before. You
know, poor circulation, heart failure, kidney disease, liver disease, pregnancy, certain medications, and injury, which is probably where that came from.
Yeah, I'm going to say so. People, take care of yourselves, okay? Take care of yourselves. Eat better. Hit the gym every now and then. Even just go for a walk with the dog, whatever. Take care of yourselves. I'm begging you. I want the Armada to be happy and healthy. All right?
Hey, Rob, I'm not fat. It's edema.
I'm big boned.
It's edema. I got
That's also bad, Lonzo.
I got a lot of edema going on.
If Garrett Cole can't beat edema, you and I are bleeped.
Yeah, that's
all right?
A problem.
Item number two. The Wofford Terriers are going dancing, ladies and gentlemen. A 19-15 season, 10-8 in the conference, come to its conclusion last night with a 92-85 win over the Furman Paladins in the Southern Conference Championship game of their tournament last night up in Asheville. 20 points for Jackson Sevilla, 19 for Justin Bailey, 13 for Kyler Fowage. It was a great night for Wofford. 54.2% from the floor. They shot 14 of 28 from the arc last night. 50% from three when you're shooting 25 or more threes is going to win you some basketball games, people. It was, without a doubt, I think, the most entertaining college basketball game that I've seen so far this year. There have been some good ones. Last Saturday, Auburn-Alabama was one of the best college basketball games I've watched in a very long time. Came down to the wire. Mark Sears able to knock down a jumper with quite literally seconds left to play, just a second and a half left when he was able to get one to fall. Alabama gets an upset win over Auburn. Upset, they were in the top 10, but so was Auburn, just higher over the Auburn Tigers. This game, as far as I am concerned, was better than that. Because the last, 11 minutes of this game were just back and forth haymakers getting thrown by these two teams. Furman went on a run. They find themselves up. Wofford starts to struggle. Bob Ritchie puts that team into a 1-3-1, a little bit of a modified one. Wingers drop back. Hey, you're not going to get the corners against us. So if you want to get that dub, you're going to have to figure out a way to do it without knocking the threes down that you've been so adept at. So the Wofford Terriers said, yeah, no worries. We got you, dog. They modify the offense just a little bit. They start having more guys overloading one side of the floor, trying to pull that winger up out of that 1-3-1 and creating some holes. That works. All of a sudden, Wofford knocking down shots again. They go take the lead. Here come the Dens, get a couple of steals. They're right back into this thing. It's tied up. But when the clock got inside that last minute and a half, the Terriers just found the clutch gene and went off. Credit to these two teams. I'll put it this way. I was watching this game last night at the crib. Was watching in the bro cave. The lady friend and I mentioned we're going to be out Thursday through Tuesday. We're going out of town. We've got a couple of our buds who are going to come house sit for us. We had to clean the house up. They're coming over on Thursday morning when we're leaving. We had to clean the house up. We're adults. Can't have a dusty house. So we're cleaning the house. I'm in the bro cave, picking up laundry, folding stuff, you know, making sure the place is spotless. About 11 minutes left in this game, I'm like, I think I got to dial in. I think I got to watch this. I sit on the couch. I make myself a little din-din. The lady friend pops the head in the door. She's like, hey, are you done cleaning? I was like, no, ma'am, but I am for at least a few minutes. She goes, why? I said, this basketball game is beyond gassed up. She's like, who's playing? Furman Wofford. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll have a snack while you wait. I said, great, sit down. She sits down. She's into this game. We are watching this game as if they're about to announce the Powerball numbers. I could not break away from it. I'm on Twitter, scrolling, watching people. I've got national radio host, national television host that are tweeting about this game in real time. That's how good it was. It was spectacular. Congrats to the Terriers, who for the sixth time in school history will be playing basketball games in the championship tournament.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to item number 3. Big day in the National Football League yesterday as the free agency period, the negotiation period, opened up. We started seeing names that were thrown around. The New Orleans Saints have re-signed edge rusher Chase Young to a 3-year, $51 million deal. I don't know how. I don't know why. We ain't got that kind of money, but we're spending it like we do. Tershawn Wharton is a defensive tackle signed to a 3-year, $54 million deal with 30 guaranteed by the Carolina Panthers. This is going to be an interesting one. Why? You're going to pair him up with Derrick Brown on the inside. There's some circumstances here. This is a good defensive tackle. He has been playing alongside Chris Jones up in Kansas City. How did that work? Very simple. Chris Jones ate up double teams like a snack, and this guy was able to take advantage of that. It's a pricey contract, but if he's able to develop that same chemistry with DB that he was with Chris Jones and KC, maybe it'll be worth it. We're going to talk about that with Rashad Beard tomorrow at 8:40. The Indianapolis Colts have brought in Tre'Davious Ward, a 3-year, $60 million deal. A guy whose numbers are pretty good. Only allowed 1 yard per coverage snap. Had a lower than average target rate of just 13%. Has been remarkably consistent. The Bears bringing Grady Jarrett up. The former Falcon recorded a 21% pass rush win rate at defensive tackle in 2019. That number has dropped every year, but he's still got some gas in the tank. We'll see how that signing works out. Malcolm Kuntz is now a Raider. They get him on a 1-year, $12 million million deal. Guard Aaron Banks headed to Green Bay, 4 years, $77 million. The Eagles and the Browns had a trade for their backup quarterbacks, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and a fifth-round pick in this draft are headed out to Philly in return for Kenny Pickett on his way out to Cleveland. Poor Kenny Pickett. Although, actually, he may get a chance to play a lot in Cleveland. We'll find out. Former Eagle Josh Sweat is now a Cardinal. 4 years, $76.4 million deal with 41 guaranteed. Had 2.5 sacks in the Super Bowl. Honestly, could have, should have, would have been Super Bowl MVP if it wasn't for that cat Jalen Hurts doing Jalen Hurts thing in that game. Josh Sweat on his way out to Arizona. The Commanders have picked up a new tackle for their guy, Jaden Daniels. Laramie Tunsil and a 2025 fourth round pick are on their way to Washington. In return, they send the Houston Texans a 2025 third, a 2025 seventh, a 2026 second, and a 2026 fourth. I think this is great. Jaden Daniels is the future of the league, but you've got to keep him protected. You have to up the offensive line, and Laramie Tunsil is a guy who can help you do that. Milton Williams, on his way to New England, a 4 year, $104 million deal. Probably a little bit too much money for him. We'll find out. Seattle has signed Sam Darnold, 3 years, $100.5 million with 55 of it guaranteed. Look, they landed him for less than the Buccaneers are paying Baker Mayfield. They are paying him less than the Saints are playing Derek Carr. Is it still too much? I don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to talk more about that. The Jets pick up Justin Fields on a 2 year, $40 million deal with $30 million guaranteed. I actually like this signing a lot more. From 21 to 23. Fields ranked 31st, 15th, and 23rd in QBR, respectively. But as Lonzo has pointed out a bunch of times, started the season off with some dubs for the Steelers last year. Will, now that he's QB1 and there's nobody in his back pocket, will he be able to improve? We're going to talk more about Justin Fields later in the show. DJ Reed, cornerback, on his way to Detroit, 3 year, $48 million deal. I like that signing a lot. Offensive tackle Dan Moore headed to Tennessee. Chris Godwin did re-up with the Buccaneers. So maybe the most notorious Tampa Bay Buccaneer of all time will likely finish his career there. And here's the best part. They got him back cheap. 3 year, $66 million deal, $44 million of it guaranteed. He could have had much more of a Devontae Adams kind of contract. This is a bargain price for Tampa Bay. Well done for them. Some of the other big names that have moved. Javon Kinlaw is on his way to the Commanders. 3 year, $45 million deal. Drew Dahlman, center, on his way to Chicago. They give them an anchor in front of Caleb Williams. I like that pickup a lot. Kansas City gets Jaylon Moore, the offensive tackle. I'm interested in that pickup. 2 years, $30 million deal. Needed an offensive lineman. Needed some help, especially with Joe Thuney on his way out. But at the same time, might have been an overpayment. I don't know. We're going to talk about that. We'll get Lonzo's thoughts in a little while. The Bucs are signing Hassan Reddick. This deal I like a lot, too. 1 year, $14 million, 12 of it guaranteed. That's cheap for a defensive changer. Khalil Mack is on his way to the Chargers. And those are all the news that broke yesterday. After we went off the air, we will evaluate some of those moves as the show progresses. We got college basketball, NHL, NBA, and more to talk about coming up over the next 2 hours and 42 minutes. And we hit the accelerator when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, Greenvillians, I call upon thee and thy historical knowledge momentarily. I need your help for just a second. I'm making up a segment here, but I'm making up a segment here because I learned a thing, but I don't know if it's a real thing or not. And I need you guys to help me out.
You've been taken before.
Yeah, yes, I have. That's why I'm leaning upon a valuable resource of wisdom and knowledge, the Armada. During the break, I will go scroll social media just to see if anything's happening during the show. And normally it's not at 7:20 in the morning, but like sometimes it is. So I scroll the social media. And of course, I am targeted for advertisements like we all are 24/7, 365 days per year. We're targeted for advertising because it works. Let's be clear. So, I came across a website that sells old school sports merchandise, which is right up my alley. Okay? I love it so much. And I came across merch for the Greenville, South Carolina Mountaineers Baseball Club, which is labeled as established 1907 in the South Carolina League Class D professional baseball. Now, I have, over the years that I have lived here, we just a week and a half ago crossed the 5-year anniversary of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate and the 5-year anniversary of my being a resident here in the Upstate. And I have taken pride in the baseball history of Greenville and the surrounding upstate of South Carolina. I've obviously learned about the Spinners, Shoeless Joe Jackson, you know, playing the hits. Learned about the Negro League team that we had here. Learned about the Mill League where Shoeless Joe started. I have taken great pleasure and pride in learning about what I didn't know about, a very deep baseball history here in the upstate of South Carolina. And in all the time I have learned about this, and I will acknowledge that it has not included like going deep dive, but I've learned. I have not heard of the Greenville Mountaineers. So I went and looked it up during the break after I found this merch for the Greenville Mountaineers, which I got to tell you, I'm very close to dropping $34.95 on a very cool t-shirt. But I now heard about the Greenville Mountaineers. Can any of you out there confirm to me the history of, the authenticity of the Greenville Mountaineers? Here's what I found when I was looking it up. First off, I found a Wikipedia page that listed Greenville Mountaineers players. And there's a couple of them, Billy LaValle and Tom Stouch.
Dude, I just looked at that too. That's a small page. That's all that's on the page.
Yeah. William Lawrence LaValle, an American minor league baseball player, baseball manager, and college baseball, football, and basketball coach, who was the head coach at the University of South Carolina, Furman University, Emory and Henry, and Newberry. He is the only South Carolina football coach to have produced 7 consecutive winning seasons. In 2009, the state called him the greatest collegiate coach in the history of South Carolina. I knew of Billy. I was unaware that he was a player for the Greenville Mountaineers. Tom Stouch, an American Major League Baseball second baseman who played 4 games with the Louisville Colonels of the National League in 1898. He is best known for discovering Shoeless Joe Jackson, who played against him while Jackson was on a Mill team in Greer, South Carolina in 1907. So again, learning more about upstate baseball history. Well, I just looked up the Greenville Mountaineers, but it redirects to the Greenville Spinners. Obviously knew about the Spinners. The Greenville Drive play a theme night or 9 every year where they break out the old black pinstripe spinner jersey. It's one of my favorite baseball looks overall. Like, I'm including the Big Show in that. The all black Spinners logo is phenomenal. The Spinners obviously were the minor league team that played here between 07 and 62, but I don't see anything specifically about the Mountaineers. And so I'm curious as to, was that like an alternate name? Was that a spinoff name? Was that something that some people didn't like the name Spinners, so they called them the Mountaineers? I don't know the answer to that. So I'm curious as to if any of y'all know the history of the Greenville Mountaineers. Was it the same thing as the Spinners? Was it like a different team than the Spinners? What's the deal? I need to know. Because old Robbie Brown's about to drop $35 on this dope shirt. I got it on the stream right now. I'm putting it up right. Well, I'm holding my phone up to the camera. But look at that shirt. That's a great baseball shirt, man. Like, that's a great baseball shirt. But this is the first I've heard of the name Greenville Mountaineers, and I kind of want to know more about it. The problem with this is that now my afternoon is shot.
Got a few older people down the hall, one of which might know, because that person has been around for a long time, this area.
That's true. And the Spinners played into what? Into the late 60s? They were a team? Into the late 60s or early 70s, something like that? Like, they were around for a long time. But did they start as the Mountaineers and then change to the Spinners? I need to know. I have to know. They were members of the South Carolina League, a minor league baseball league that played from 06 to 08 in Class D. So if, like, this is where it would have been, this would have been it. The South Carolina League formed for the first time in 1906 as a 16 Class D level minor league team. The 1906 Charter League members were Camden, the Darlington Fiddlers, Georgetown, Manning, the Orangeburg Cotton Pickers, and the Sumter Gamecocks. The final 1906 South Carolina League records and standings are unknown. In 1907, the South Carolina League continued as a six-team league under league president Mendel Smith, beginning play on May 20th. The league added the Anderson Electricians, the Greenville Mountaineers, and the Spartanburg Spartans as new franchises. In 1907, Darlington moved to Florence, and the Anderson and Greenville franchises both folded. Okay, so the Greenville Mountaineers played in the Class D level South Carolina League for one season before folding, and then they started up again a couple of years later, or I guess a different franchise started up a couple of years later as the Greenville Spinners.
Does that place have a Fiddler's shirt? Because, I mean, that kind of stood out to me, the Fiddlers.
I'm buying that immediately if so, right?
I mean, you know.
I'm about to go. This website's about to take a paycheck off of me.
Anderson Electricians, I mean, I don't know what you're going to put on a shirt that shows you're an electrician.
Like a cool bit. Okay, I got it. Like a baseball dude, but instead of a bat, he's holding a lightning bolt.
That would be kind of cool.
That's dope, right?
But I don't know if that denotes or whatever about being an electrician.
I got nothing. I like it.
But the Fiddlers, man.
Okay, I mean, so the Greenville Mountaineers played one year in 1907 in the South Carolina League.
So you want to buy a shirt of a team that only played one year in 1907?
It's a great shirt.
Okay.
It's a great shirt.
All right.
It's a great shirt. Like, real good shirt. Now, I'm also
Are
going to...
Are you also an antiquer? Do you enjoy the flea markets and jockey lots?
I do, but I'm looking for, like, the real cool stuff, right? Like, I'm not like, oh, what a lovely antique bedside table. I don't care about your damn bedside table. I'm going in there looking for, like, the 1974 NASCAR diecast. I'm looking for the sign that hung on the fence at the first Daytona 500. I'm looking for the stuff that, like, you would see it and go, I'm clearing a wall in the Brocade for that. This is out of left field. Or just, like, really weird stuff. I'm about to, you know what? I'm married. Who the hell cares? My whole sword collection has come from antique shops. My whole sword collection, all from antique shops. And yes, it's a collection. I'm married. Judge me. I don't care. She already knew what she was getting into.
All right. Think about the crowd you're addressing right now. None of us care. I mean, there's no judgment here. We just want to know, are the swords sharp?
Do I get it in, like, the classic, like, baseball shirt, like the three-quarter sleeve?
I like that one.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. And do I get it with the white sleeves, though, or do I get it gray with the black sleeves? See, I don't know what the—I also got to go spend some time to figure out what the color scheme of the Greenville Mountaineers was. I wanted team colors. I got to represent the 1907 South Carolina D-League professional team. This is important to me that we are historically accurate. When we come back, let's talk about some of these NFL news, the NFL notes, NFL headlines, NFL contracts that got agreed to yesterday, including a slew of quarterback moves, who's benefiting, who hurt themselves, all that more coming up next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Now I'm just gone down a rabbit hole of old sports collectibles, old sports jerseys. One of them, and I knew about the Greenville Groove. I have been looking since I moved here for a Greenville Groove jersey. One of the green ones, and I cannot find them. I cannot find a Greenville Groove jersey anywhere. I'll tell you right now, somebody finds me a Greenville Groove jersey, I'll buy it from you. I want a Groove jersey, preferably one I can fit my fat behind into, but I want a Greenville Groove jersey.
You want a good-looking one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would take vintage, worn, what is it called, distressed. Is before that, none?
Well, I mean, what degree of pit stains are you willing to pay for? I'm just curious.
Preferably not one that was played in, but, you know, sometimes beggars can't be choosers. I really want a Greenville Groove jersey. I'm big on jerseys that say Greenville across the front. I like it. All right, let's get some NFL news and notes in here. We talked a little bit earlier in the show about the quarterbacks that got moved or signed yesterday. Sam Darnold is now a member of the Seattle Seahawks. Again, I'm okay with it because to me it is a gamble. It is a gamble. You got him cheaper than the Bucs have Baker Mayfield. You got him cheaper than the Saints have Derek Carr. When I said I wouldn't give Sam Darnold a $100 million contract, I was working on the assumption that someone was going to give him a two-year deal. Effectively, you had a great year, we're going to reward you, but we're not going to make it a super long term. You're going to have to play to get an extension on a two-year, $100 million contract. Seattle gets him for 3 years and $100 million, 55 of it overall guaranteed, which again, less than Baker Mayfield, less than Derek Carr in terms of per year averages. So, like I said, we talked about it in hour number one. We don't have to spend a ton of time on it. Seattle is basically banking that the 14-3 regular season record of Sam Darnold last year as the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings was Sam Darnold being good, not the Vikings being good and carrying Sam Darnold. We're going to find out about that. I am better. I'm a bigger fan of Justin Fields getting signed to the New York Jets. I have been, I think it's fair to say, optimistic for Justin Fields because, again, I firmly believe that people do not understand the impact that playing for a booty cheeks franchise can have on a young quarterback. And on top of the impact it has on a young quarterback in their rookie year, it is also the long-lasting impact it can have on you. Sam Darnold is an example. Baker Mayfield is an example. These are two guys that spent a couple of years as QB1 for a craptastic franchise. Both of them came to their second franchise, also craptastic, and then went on to their third franchise. Well, Sam Darnold's fourth, Baker's third, and earned big-time money. Baker Mayfield's won back-to-back divisional titles. Now, it is fair to point out that he has won back-to-back divisional titles in a, say it with me, bad division, but back-to-back divisional titles nonetheless. Sam Darnold went to San Francisco, got to spend a year learning under a guy that I think could be labeled the quarterback coach in Kyle Shanahan, goes up to Minnesota, bango, 14-win regular season. Yeah, got smoked in the opening round of the playoffs, but got him there, right? Got him there. And I think there's something to be said for that. I wonder, sincerely, how many quarterbacks that were highly touted coming out. Texter just sent a text to the text line at 844-326-3663, 844-326-3663. Shoot us a text or a phone call. Let us know your thoughts on any of the moves that got yesterday. We're going to do Panther-specific free agency talk coming up in the second segment of the next hour. Got your audio blitz at 8 o'clock. We'll talk Panther pickups after that. But I kind of wanted to hang here for a minute. I wonder, Texter said, speaking of which, has anyone heard from Josh Rosen lately? Listen, there are going to be quarterbacks who just don't have it. But I also wonder how many quarterbacks that we have labeled bust, that we have labeled failures, played for an awful franchise that was just bad and then didn't get a second chance. How many quarterbacks washed out of the league and never got a second chance like Sam Darnold did? Sam Darnold got a third and then a fourth chance. Baker Mayfield got a third chance. How many quarterbacks? And this is why, despite the fact that I have been a skeptic, and despite the fact that I do have doubts about Justin Fields, I've told you my biggest issue with Justin Fields, I think his decision-making time is too slow. I think he has a hard time making a decision about where to put the football. And in the NFL, the window to not just make a decision but to execute the throw is microscopic. You have to know it, get it right, and hit the spot. And if you can't do that, you're watching a lot of footballs go back the other way. You're watching a lot hit the dirt. And that is my conversation about Justin Fields. I think athletically, he's got every tool in the tool set to be a good NFL quarterback. Great? Question mark. But you got to prove you're good before you can prove you're great. I think he's got every tool in the toolkit to be a good NFL quarterback. And I think you've seen that out of Justin Fields. You have seen him make some stellar throws, both in Chicago and in Pittsburgh last year. You have seen him put the ball in the right spot. But it's primarily been when he's had guys that were open that he's able to drop the dot. I need to see him be able to do it into tight coverages. I need to be able to see him do it between a cornerback and a linebacker and get that ball in a touch zone in between the second and third levels of a defense. And I don't think that we have seen that yet. This is his chance because the New York Jets are opportunity number three for Justin Fields. Now, you can make the argument, and I know Lonzo has. You can make the argument that Justin Fields was doing what he needed to do at Pittsburgh, and they took that shot away from him. Now, we knew it was coming because whether you like it or not, agree with it or not, not every, but most NFL franchises subscribe to the theory that QB1 cannot lose his job to injury. QB1 loses his job because QB1 plays poorly, QB2 plays well enough to take the spot. Does happen, but rarely. Justin Fields was, what was the record, Lonzo? Like 4-2?
Yeah, 4-2.
4-2. When Russell Wilson came back from his from the injury that he sustained in the preseason and took the QB1 job back from Justin Fields. Justin Fields went to the bench, never got that QB1 spot back. Was that because they had too much money in Russell Wilson? Maybe. Was it because they just believed more in Russell Wilson? Maybe. Was it because when Russell Wilson came back, Russell Wilson was also winning games? Maybe.
Well, it also, according to sources, caused a divided locker room.
Sure.
Because you were winning and you put another guy in after you were winning.
I also think had they not made the switch, they'd have had a divided locker room because half the locker room would have said, you got a proven quarterback who's won a Super Bowl. Put that ball in his hands, right? Like that was the concern I had when the Steelers signed both of these guys in the first place was you're dividing your locker room no matter what happens. Even if one of them clearly wins the QB1 battle in camp, there's going to be others who go, that's not the guy, especially when you have a guy as polarizing as Russell Wilson is. Russell Wilson is as polarizing as Aaron Rodgers, but for a completely different set of reasons, right? Like, completely different set of reasons, but the same is still true. That was an inevitability, I think. So, Justin Fields got his second opportunity in Pittsburgh. Whether it's his fault, Tomlin's fault, the organization's fault, the offense's fault, irrelevant. Spot number two didn't work out. So he goes to spot number three, the New York Jets. Now, what do the New York Jets have right now? They got a good young core. They got some young guys on the offensive side of the ball that can help him out. They've got Breece Hall at the running back, Garrett Allen. They've got Alan Lazard, so a proven vet over there. I don't know how much time he's got left, but a proven vet over there. They've got some young guys, and I do suspect the Jets are probably going to draft another wide receiver or find another wide receiver in free agency to bump Xavier Gibson out of the starting role and move somebody else into that third spot, into that Z spot. But they got some talent. They got a decent offensive line there in front of them. This is Justin Fields' opportunity to prove that he can be that guy. He can be a QB1. And to be honest with you, I am pulling for him. And I am pulling for him because he went to Chicago, which I said when he was there as a garbage can. I said going into last year, Matt Eberflus ain't the guy. They should have moved him before the offseason. They did not.
So the Jets are a better situation than what Chicago was.
Yes. God, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how when Justin Fields was there. Not today. But when Justin Fields was there, the Jets today, with Justin Fields on day one of QB1 era, versus the Bears when Justin Fields were there, yes, better landing spot for Justin Fields than where he was. I don't know what Aaron Glenn's going to be as a head coach. I don't know what he's going to be as a head coach. Here's what I do know. I do know he comes from, obviously, the Detroit coaching tree. He comes out from Dan Campbell. If he's got that same attitude, he's still got that same Dan Campbell-ness to him, I'm going to like that. I know they went and got themselves a young offensive coordinator in Tanner Engstrand, who was part of Ben Johnson's staff in Detroit. So he's bringing, he knows the offense because he's bringing a guy who was in the Ben Johnson staff to come be the OC. They've got young talent. They've got guys. I think he's in a better spot now than he ever was in Chicago. And he's got a year where he's washed the Chicago-ness off of him. And he's got a year to have sat with again. Maybe he's not the look outside. I'm trying to tell you, look out the window. Maybe he's not going to be the big time star that Caleb Williams, I think, is going to be. Caleb Williams came into Chicago. He was thrown into the same situation with Matt Eberflus. He showed enough flash that the Bears went, okay, we trust Caleb Williams with the future more than we trust Matt Eberflus, which they, again, should have done before he ever got there. But what I do know about this situation is this. They got a new head coach who is, from what I've seen out of him so far, very much a no-nonsense guy who's trying to compete. They've got a new offensive coordinator who brings over what he learned under Ben Johnson, who was doing a great job in Detroit as the offensive coordinator. That's why he's the coach of the Chicago Bears now. They bring over a lot of young core talent, and the Jets aren't in a terrible, off the top of my head, aren't in a terrible salary cap position. They can make another move or two. I am optimistic for Justin Fields. So where does that leave everybody else? I've said this a couple of times, and I'll say this one more. Aaron Rodgers might be the best quarterback left out there. Aaron Rodgers might be the best quarterback left out there. I don't know who's going to need a guy. I don't know who's going to be searching for a guy. The Raiders get Geno. The Seahawks are set with Darnold. The Jets now have their guy. It's basically the Giants. So if Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing football next year, it looks like he won't even have to switch apartments. He's still going to be playing his ball in New Jersey. I don't know if that's the fit or not. Honestly, I genuinely don't. But that's it. And he's the best guy left out there. So if the G-men feel like they need to move up and on, that's going to be the play. So it looks like the quarterback carousel has largely come to its stop in the NFL. Everybody's got their guy. Now today, we continue the free agent negotiations. We will find out what other big names are going to move. There's a couple of other guys that have moved. Carolina made some moves yesterday. We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I got your audio blitz that is going to lead off the next hour. The best audio that we have found since the last time we did the audio blitz 24 hours ago. Then we will talk about the Panthers free agency moves that they moved yesterday, including that extension to J.C. Horn I told you was coming. Now, did I know that J.C. Horn was going to ultimately end up being the highest paid defensive back in the National Football League? No, but that is a result of the cap going up. Is it the right move for Carolina? We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a little while. After that, we got some baseball talk. Gerrit Cole shut down for a year plus. He's going to have Tommy John surgery. The American League is now wide open, or is it? We'll talk about what this Gerrit Cole news means for the rest of the AL. We'll get some Braves talk in here as well because we are continuing to monitor the guys that are going to be coming off the injured list. When might they be available, and what does that mean when the Phillies are getting better? We got that coming up for you. I got some NHL talk. We got some college basketball. The ACC tournament gets underway in Charlotte, North Carolina later on this afternoon with a flurry of games. The Southeastern Conference gets its tournament started tomorrow. So it is going to be a busy back half of the show. If you want in, 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663 is the number to get on the air. It is also the number to text the show. Texter said Josh Rosen was a damn good quarterback that the Cardinals ruined. I agree, Joey. The text from Joey, appreciate it, big dog. I agree. That's kind of what I'm talking about. When Josh Rosen got to Arizona, that franchise was a dumpster fire. Josh Rosen never had a chance. But Josh Rosen's a guy who didn't really get a second opportunity. How many quarterbacks do we put into that category? I may do a deep dive on that tonight. That might be my game plan tonight. We'll see. I also am about to spend a irresponsible amount of time learning about the single season of baseball that the Greenville Mountaineers played in 1907. I want to know everything.
I'm sure it was an amazing season.
Hey, man. The arguably greatest coach in the history of South Carolina Gamecock football was on that team. Something to be said for that. All right. We got to run to a break. Audio blitz when we come back. Carolina free agency after that. Rest of the show belongs to you. You know what belongs to the next 60 seconds? Your attention as Lonzo reads his sports flash.
The Wofford Terriers are headed to the dance after a furious late-game rally led them past the Furman Paladins 92-85 in the Southern Conference Championship game. Wofford trailed by four with 2:34 remaining, but were led by Jackson Seville's and his four three-pointers to take the win. Justin Bailed added 19, and Dylan Bailey scored 15 for the Terriers, who will go dancing for the sixth time in school history with the automatic berth. Don Staley's Gamecocks basketball team will enter the national championship tournament ranked second in the AP poll just behind UCLA. Gamecocks earned 9 first-place votes, 7 less than the Bruins, and 2 more than the UConn Huskies. The team now waits to find out which of the 4 number one seeds they'll be awarded. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel ride shotgun on your drive home and get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, all Wire to Wire.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.